Hello, hello. Here we go.
Well, almost.
Hey, Jasmine.
Hi, everyone.
Hey.
Hi.
How was your Christmas Eve going?
Oh, it is hectic, I'm sure, as everyone else's is, but it's good. Can't complain.
Word.
Good.
Wait, hold up. So before we get started, everybody in the chat, please share the space and let people know we're in here for the Shea Butter Kickback featuring the legend, Jasmine Spencer.
Yes.
And so I'll share that with y'all peoples in the Twitter streets. And yes. Let's get it going. Let's get this part started. All right. We start our podcast, I am Sky. I'm from the Southwest Atlanta. Yeah, I'm fresh, currently living near the beach shores. So I'm Southern California blessed in the Wild Wild West. And I'm with who?
What's up, world? This is your girl, Silks. DA all day, two up, two down. It snowed out of nowhere sideways today. So I'm not going anywhere but the inside of this house. So that's my life right now.
And we are Shea Butter FC, a podcast where we talk about two Black women's perspective on soccer, football, and everything between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning. The moisturizer,
yellow edges,
and deepen your love for all things Black women.
Okay, so in we out here in the Shea Butter Twitter streets for the Shea Butter Kickback. Yes. So we got Jasmine Spencer. So hey,
yeah, we do.
Hey, thank you for having me, and thank you everyone who's tuning in. Gonna tune in at some point in the next hour. I'm excited to talk to you all.
Word.
Hey, we're excited to have you. So. Some things have happened, so yeah. I'm sure we'll get around to that for you. But yeah, I guess what we would like to do is just give you a quick second to shout out where you're from. I have a rough idea, but just we like people to rep where they're from, so you're happy to do that. And yeah, I'll turn it over to you.
Rep your city! Okay, go ahead.
I'm from the great New York! I am. I'm from Long Island, New York. I'm here now with the fam for the holidays, which is so nice. It is cold, but I'm excited to just spend some time with family before next season starts.
Ooh. All right. And I have a question. Like, okay, so I went to school closer to New York than not. What is your LIRR stop? Hello.
The closest is Babylon. Sometimes I take Deer Park, but yeah, okay. Usually Babylon.
Oh, okay. I don't even know.
Yep.
Yeah, I had to explain what
I'm far.
Was
to I'm far. Not far, but far enough.
Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah. Hey. No, I used to go home, like, go visit my, or go with my friend back home, and it was from Ronkonkoma. I think we had to get off one, so that's how I learned about it.
Oh, she's yeah, she yeah she's deep. She's further than me.
So, yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I think, Scott, you want to kick it off or you want me to?
Okay. Well, yeah, I can kick it off. So since we got you here, so tell us about your youth career, your time in Maryland. How was it? Were you one of the only Black players or were there several? Can you talk about, how you got into soccer, why you love it, in your journey, I guess, as a youth?
Yeah, okay. So I feel like my youth story is kind of unique. Maybe not. My whole family played. I have two older brothers. They played. My mom played. So by the time I came around, we were just a whole soccer family. And that's how we spent our weekends. We traveled around the country, out of the country, just everybody going to see each other play. So that was pretty cool. My first competitive travel team was actually the town over, and we were all Black and brown girls.
Ooh.
I know. Makes me so happy on one level, but sad on the other, because as I started to progress and get older and get into these elite teams is when I really became one of very few. So a lot of the work that I've been doing since college, and especially now with the BWPC, the Black Women's Player Collective, is just, creating access to the game for kids of color and for those that are already in the game, you know, keeping them in the game and getting them to the next level, getting them to college, getting them to whatever their dreams might be. Because I've seen it, you know, I came thankfully come from a diverse town and area and neighborhood where I grew up with people who looked like me and who enjoyed the game. And I want, you know, I want other people to have that same kind of experience that I had when I was young. And then I played for a club, Albertson Fury. There's many Fury alum in the NWSL. And playing for them and going to, you know, the college showcases and tournaments, I got recruited. And actually, I didn't want to go to Maryland. That wasn't my first choice. My first choice was UNC Wilmington because I wanted to be a marine biologist. And I visited them both in the same week. And then I loved Wilmington. It's right on the beach. My town is right on the beach. So I was like, this is home. This is going to be great. And before I committed, they signed like a local North Carolina kid and the coach who I still think to this day, because he didn't have to do this, but he basically was like, we don't have the money you deserve. So we want to give you the opportunity to, you know, go to another school if you wish. And I was like, okay, you know, scholarship was really important to me financially to help me be able to go to college. So I was like, I guess I'm going to Maryland, kind of like deflated. And honestly, it worked out for the best. I loved my time at Maryland. We weren't a very good program my freshman year, but by the time I finished, we were a top 10 school and I left an All-American. And there were a couple of us in the league in the beginning stages in that first season. And yeah, so proud Terp.
All right. No, that's dope. I think that's a really unique experience, like you said, when everybody sort of looked like you, at least when you were younger and starting off. Like, that's not usually what we hear. So,
right.
Yeah, like, I appreciate sort of hearing about your unique experience. So I'm going to continue with the soccer part. You say soccer, football, do you care?
I don't care. Either one is fine. Depends on the company you're with, I guess, at the time.
Okay. So strictly a tactical question, what is your favorite position or preferred position? And does it matter like what formation or generally you're just like, no, this is the position I like, or I feel most comfortable playing?
I'm comfortable anywhere in the front line in any type of formation. I just love running out of people and scoring goals and creating chances. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's so fun. Being a forward is so fun. You get all the glory, but you also get a lot of shade when you don't produce, but it's fine. It's all part of the game. But I love it.
Hey, so that's a good, so since you're speaking of like scoring and running, like we got some Shea Butter FC vocabulary, like the Shea Butter and one mixtape reel. So like if you embarrass somebody or now a new vocabulary word, I guess the Shea Butter pose. Like, is there like a favorite moment, you know, playing as a forward, playing as attacking player that you have? Did you want to share with people?
I mean, I feel like obviously scoring, but I feel like I get a lot of joy out of just beating people like 1v1. Like it's just,
yes!
That's my favorite answer. Absolutely.
It brings me joy. And I feel like that's what the whole game is about. You know what I mean? Just like it comes down to all those little 1v1 moments. And for me, like, I don't know, but I feel like a defender, like they'll get hyped for, you know, the one time they stop you or whatever. But I just like, that doesn't faze me. Like I'm coming again and again and again. So yeah, I don't know. I like that part.
Okay. So of course, with that question, it comes with the, is there like a time where you had like your welcome to the league moment? Like, did you have I guess a Shea Butter blessing? Did somebody like, did you get the, oh man, I'm playing professionally, like, oh snap. Or even in college, did you ever have a moment where it was like, oh snap, where it might've been a little embarrassing, but you know, growth, little experience playing?
I feel like not like a specific moment, but two things come to mind. My first professional season was actually abroad because I was in that 2012 draft class that in the WPS, like we got drafted and then 2 weeks later it folded and we were like, yay. And then no. So my first pro season was actually overseas. And I remember I was playing in Denmark for the top team Brøndby, and we were like doing our pregame walkthrough for a Champions League game, and there were like 2 17-year-old girls on the team, and I was so ignorant and naive to like European football. And of course I grew up watching the men's game, but I didn't know, and I wasn't aware that the women's game, even though it's not broadcasted as much and, you know, doesn't get all the limelight, you know, the leagues still exist and the competition still exists. So I remember the two 17-year-olds were walking the field and they were like, oh, like, are you nervous? Like, this is the biggest game ever. And I really said to them, like, I'm not nervous. I played in bigger games. Like, I played in an NCAA tournament. And I, to this day, laugh at myself, like, how ignorant I was to think that, like, anything I accomplished in college, which, of course, was great. Like, it's a high level, but it is not Champions League. So that was like, I look back on that and laugh and just think like, oh, silly me. Like, I had so much to learn as a pro. And then my entire first year in the league with the Washington Spirit was a learning curve. We were, I think the rosters were only 18 players max at that point. And it was like six Olympians, like two Mexicans, two Canadians, and two Americans. And then all of us were first year pros, like more or less, you know, some of us had played like a half a season overseas, but everyone else was fresh out of the draft and we were terrible. I think we finished the season with like 4 wins, 13 losses and 4 ties. So that entire season was my welcome to the league, like welcome to the big leagues.
Wow. You took it to the WPS. Wow.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
There are people who might not even know about the WPS.
That was like, dark times. That was dark times.
Dark com.
Well, all right. So I'm going to switch gears just a little bit here. So we have Maggie in here with us, your agent, who we love. And I'm just curious, right? Because she's pretty much one of one stateside. Was choosing Maggie intentional for you? Like, and if so, like, what is the experience having a Black woman be your agent? Like, I think that's fascinating. So I'd like to hear from your perspective.
Yeah, I actually hadn't had an agent before Maggie. I think it had been like 6 years before I had an agent. And I, like, unfortunately, many women in the sports industry had a representation that just were not doing what was right and what was best for me. And I had to part ways. And we don't make a lot of money, as everyone knows. So I'm like, if I'm giving you a portion of the very little funds that I'm making, like I would expect that you would be doing whatever you can to help me succeed. And that was just not the case. And so I just was accustomed to, you know, negotiating contracts by myself and trying to get endorsements by myself. And then it got to a point where I was like, I'm ready to go to the next level. Like, I can't do all this by myself. And I want somebody who, this is what they do, you know, somebody who's going to understand what my goals are and then go to bat for me, you know, off the field to make sure that I'm taken care of. And a friend of mine who I'd played with had recommended Maggie, and I was like, I don't know, you know, I don't know if I need representation, but I was like, what do I have to lose? You know, I feel confident in where I'm at in my career. Like, why not work with somebody who's just going to help me get to that next level on and off the field? And honestly, after one conversation with Maggie, I knew she was the right match for me. She is a fellow Black woman from New York, signed, sealed, delivered, no questions asked. And it's been great. She helped me get out of a difficult situation mid-season, which anybody who's been following the NWSL knows that those moves are difficult. And, you know, I feel like everything we've gone through in the last 10, 11 months together, you know, we've been rewarded with this really exciting news and move to LA. So I'm so thankful and happy that we crossed paths and are now working together.
Well, you're setting me up perfectly. So I was actually just getting ready to touch on that. So you did get some big news last weekend. And I'm gonna turn this over to Sky after this.
Let's go.
She's the Angel City fan in the crew here. So you're one of the newest members of Angel City FC, and so I guess my biggest question is, what are you looking forward to? Sort of the big shiny club. It's exciting. So yeah. How are you feeling?
I'm excited. I'm excited because I think Angel City, you know, when they announced their founding group and their ideas and their plans for the women's game, they just took
the standard to a whole new level. And it's all player first, community based. Like, they really are building something special that we haven't seen in the women's game. And when you think of like the biggest clubs in the world, like, they all operate like what Angel City intends to do. You know, it's family oriented, it's community based, and then they provide all the resources to their players. So all they have to do is show up and play soccer, you know? And I think that's what I'm most excited about, because I'm going to be a part of that club, and I'm going to be a part of the momentum that they're generating in driving the women's game forward, and everything else that comes with it. You know, the product that we're going to put out on the field and how competitive we're going to be. And hopefully we can, you know, make playoffs and win a championship. Like, that's all going to be a bonus. Just knowing that year 10 of the league, like, I'm representing a club that has every intention of growing the women's game, and so that's what I'm really excited about.
Hey, that sounds amazing. Oh, I was so hyped. Like, we did a expansion draft spaces, and I kind of screamed when you got announced. I was kind of yeah, if people in here, they know, because I was so excited, because I think you'll have a phenomenal time here and be an amazing fit with the squad they're putting together. But I did have some questions in terms of LA. Are there some places like you're looking forward to exploring? Any kind of cultural vibes or some food or anything?
I am open to any and all suggestions. I've only been to LA one time and did like the very, very, very touristy things, like the Chinese Theater and Universal, and, you know, so I can say I checked those off my list already, and now I'm ready to just like really see what LA is about. So if anybody has suggestions, please tweet at me, DM me, whatever. I'm curating a list to make my transition smooth.
Like, are there particular kind of foods
you like? I love all food.
Okay.
So
okay,
give me
okay.
The best everything. Best Mexican, best Italian, all best right. Caribbean, best
okay.
Yes. Give it all to me so I can try it all.
All right, word.
Nice. Yeah, super, super exciting. Did you watch on Thursday, or did you ignore it?
I did not watch nearly one thing. I feel
that
draft anxiety. I didn't even watch my college draft. My family, they are my support system. They bear the brunt of that. And one draft I slept through, I think it was when Orlando came into the league. I purposely went to sleep. I didn't want to watch. This one, I went to the gym. I missed the call from the club. I came home, and my niece was like, Auntie Jazza, I saw you on TV. And then Maggie called me right after I saw my niece. So that's how I found out. And then we celebrated. But yeah, I can't handle it. It's a lot, because you drive yourself crazy. Am I going? Am I not going? Do I want to stay? Like, and you never know, because there's so many moving pieces. As we all know, if you watched, and then if you watch the college draft over the weekend as well, it's just impossible to predict what type of movement could happen in the draft. So it's too much to handle. So I let the fam bear the brunt of that.
That's an amazing answer. Like,
yeah,
I missed the call. Like, I just did not see it. And it's always nice when kids let you know. That's much better. But yeah, right. it's awesome news. And yes, I can confirm, Sky, I did scream very, very loudly.
It was a little bit loud. There might be video evidence, but that's neither here nor there.
So I'm going to step away from the actual football side of this for just a second. We want to make sure we're opening the floor for you to talk about this. So I don't know if people know this about you, but you are an entrepreneur and a business owner. Your company, Jazz It Up, focuses on sustainability and its clothing line. And I know you have a current line that's called Gone by 2050. And so I'm going to turn the floor over to you to let us know what got you interested in being an entrepreneur and a business owner, what your company is about, some of the initiatives you have going on, and how else we can support.
Yeah, Jazz It Up. It's so near and dear to my heart. Honestly, it's not something that I ever saw myself doing or thought I would be, doing. But I four years ago now, just wanted to do something to kind of grow my brand and engage with the fans. And I was playing in Orlando at the time, and I was like, you know, what's me? What's signature to me? And it's always
my hair and my headbands that I play in. And so I was like, okay, like my sister-in-law said, why don't you make your own instead of buying all these crazy ones? And I was like, that's a good idea. So I made a couple headbands and I sold them and I got a lot of great feedback and support. And so I started kind of researching a little bit more into, you know, manufacturing, and because it was a lot, you know, I don't have that much time on my hands, even though we do have some downtime. So I started to look into, I guess, the ins and outs of the fashion industry and, you know, creating a clothing brand. And I stumbled upon all these crazy, you know, things about how detrimental the practices were in the fashion industry to our planet. And I'm also very passionate about the environment. And so I was like, there's no way people know this. You know, how can I use my brand to kind of educate people on, you know, how we can shop smarter and be a little bit more intentional with our purchases. So I switched to eco-friendly fabric, and it seemed the more I would share and learn about, the more excited people were getting about Jazz It Up. So then in 2019, mm-hmm. when I tore my ACL, I had a ton of time on my hands. So I was like, I think I can rebrand this and make it bigger and reach more people. And so I rebranded it and I relaunched it as a full clothing line. And it's built on the principles of sustainability. So it's not just, you know, inspiring and educating people about, you know, ways to preserve the environment, but also ways that we can do right by the people that we share this planet with. And so every collection, I pick a social issue or an environmental issue, and I kind of curate a collection based upon, you know, what I want to share with the world, and partner with a non-for-profit that is, you know, in that space and donate a portion of the proceeds to it. So it started with, you know, running free clinics. Obviously with COVID, I've been able to do a free clinic in some time now, but I've been able to do some really cool things like plant trees. And Gone by 2050 is drawing a lot of attention to the impact that coastal communities are affected by climate change. And so I partnered with this cool organization called SBP, and they provide disaster relief. And so 10% of the proceeds for the Gone by 2050 collection, initially were going to their Hurricane Ida initiative, where they were helping to rebuild homes for, you know, families that had been in the path of Hurricane Ida. But they just touched down in Kentucky last week. So I would say that any sales that I've made in the last 10 or so days have been going directly to their Kentucky initiative, to the families who have been affected by all the tornadoes. So it's really cool. And like I said, it's something I'm really passionate about. It enables me to connect with the fan base and just continue to inspire and educate people on, you know, the importance of being good to our planet and being good to one another. So, yeah, that's Jazz It Up.
Hey, hey. Thank you.
Sorry, my family's very loud right now. Do you have a favorite piece from this collection?
Oh, my goodness. The graphic tee for sure is my favorite. I a friend of mine, Sade Pratt, she spent a couple years in the league at Portland Thorns. I played with her at Maryland. She's an incredible artist, and now she works for Nike in their design team, and she's unbelievable. So I hit her up immediately and was like, this is what I'm thinking. This is the concept behind the collection. And if you check out either my Instagram, jazzitup_official, or the website, jazzitupofficial.com, you'll see the graphic tee and the artwork that she produced to honor the theme and the messaging of Gone by 2050. And it came out so good. And I worked with a guy in Queens to bring it to life, and they're awesome. Him and his wife do custom apparel. So this, you know, I was able to collaborate with some really dope Black artists and other art entrepreneurs, and I just love, you know, how awesome it came out. So that's probably my favorite piece in this collection.
It's all amazing, and I'm glad we can provide a space for you to be able to share the story of it and the collection.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Scott, you want me to turn it back over to you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So this actually fits in line with a segment we have called Get Your Fits Right, where we talk about clothes, accessories, shoes, in terms of, like, culturally, from a cultural perspective, what soccer, football could have at some point. So speaking of which, when we're talking about clothes, whether it be kits to shorts to whatever, Are there any things you would like to see on field and off field in a potential for collaborations? Also, would you want to like see some things? I don't know if you're a sneakerhead or not. In terms of shoes, like on the field, you know, any kind of accessories you would like to see for like the NWSL or across soccer in general you have not seen before?
Ooh, that is tough. I feel like I would like to see some, this could be anywhere in the world of football, but like it would be dope if I like started seeing like Black designers create like third kits. You know how that every, not very many NWSL teams have a third kit, but a lot of European clubs have a third kit that's like a specialty kit. And I just think it would be so dope if like Black designers were the ones creating the third kits. Like it would be cool. Footwear, I mean, in keeping with the sustainability, just the more that brands start using like recycled materials and eco-friendly materials, like I feel like we need to start implementing that into, you know, sporting footwear as well now. Because why not? Why not?
Word, word, word. Actually, yeah, that would be, yeah, that'd be cool. On both fronts. Man. So would you want to like make a kit? and like, what would it, if you could, would you want to? And then even if you, what would be cool like on a kit, like from your perspective, if you had a chance to make a kit and go out there?
I don't know. I would, you know, it would depend on. I don't think I could do it by myself. I think, you know, like I said, with the t-shirt, it's always like a collaborative process. And I think, I mean,
would you want to do something that like pays homage to like your hometown?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That would be dope. New York doesn't have a team yet though. So I guess we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait for that. Gotham is close, but we all know they play in New Jersey. I know, shots fired. Sorry, any Gotham fans. but yeah, that would be dope. I think anything that represents, you know, the club and the community that the club represents, if that were like put into the kit, that would be dope. But yeah, I don't know. I honestly have never thought about that before. So I think if I were to venture into that, for me to be successful, I'd definitely, you know, work with the team and make it the best it could be.
Okay. So, and then another question in talking culture. So, like, we are some band geeks. And so, back in the day, we were in marching band, HBCU, show-stepping, high-stepping type style. And so, some of the stuff in terms like Shea Butter Bomb, referring to a goal scored by Black people, we had, like, songs and stuff to it. Would it be cool for you? I don't know if you've experienced this at a soccer game, to, like, have some, like, chants and celebrations, some music, some vibes that you might have seen in other sports appear at a soccer game? Or is that not a thing that you've thought about before? But from a cultural standpoint, what would you like to see come to the game, particularly as the game becomes more diverse, that you might not have seen before?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we got some marching bands, like, in the stands, in the supporter section, I think that would be so dope. I guess the closest that I've seen, and I haven't even seen in real life, is like Atlanta. They do things right. They do. I haven't seen live, but just like following on Instagram and them being in like the tailgates and the pregame march to the stadium and all that, it looks so dope. And they've done such a good job of immersing the culture into their, you know, environment. And I think that's dope. But I think it would be different because every city, you know, has its own identity. And so I wouldn't say that what I would want to see would be the same in every city. But I think if it was just like authentic to the city and the market, then it would be dope.
Word, word.
Very cool. I'm going to stay on culture just a little bit longer. All right. So speaking of culture, you mentioned this earlier. I think I'm going to turn the floor back over to you. But you are a board member for the Black Women's Players Collective. And so for our audience, and we have quite a few people joining us here, can you just give us a brief, or not so brief, if you want to do that, history of sort of how the collective came to be, like what it is, some of the initiatives you're doing, and like potentially, I know you all still have to meet and do that, but like potentially what are your goals for the next maybe year?
Yeah, so Black Women's Player Collective, we are just over a year old now, officially. We formed in the wake of the murder of George Floyd. Basically, a popular source close to the league had put out a statement saying that all the players had felt supported at that time. And they hadn't spoke to any of the players of color in the league. And so we were like, you know, we're tired of our voices being kind of hijacked and people speaking for us. Or when we do speak up, they kind of put us all in one bubble as if we all have the same experiences, come from the same place and have lived the same life, you know? And so we thought it was time to just create a safe space for ourselves within the league as minorities in the league, but also, you know, kind of take our voices and our power back and start to really impact change in our communities and each of the markets that we represent. And so that's how we were formed, and that's what our goal is. And the biggest thing that we've been able to accomplish is installing mini pitches across the country. We have more coming on that, which is really exciting. And we use those to introduce or provide access to the sport for predominantly Black and Brown kids. And it was great. I went to the opening of the Atlanta pitch in October. That was and the joy that all the kids who had come out had, and you know, the smiles on their faces, it was just, you know, so rewarding and made it all worthwhile. So I think we're definitely excited to continue with our mini pitch initiative. Ultimately, we want to move beyond just soccer, you know. We want to just be able to provide resources to young girls of color for, you know, whatever avenue and whatever industry they want to go toward in life. And as we continue to grow and, you know, make new connections and get more resources, I definitely think we'll be able to do that.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. And then I think just to piggyback off of that, as members of the media, I guess we are that now. As members of BWPC, you can speak for yourself or collectively, that's fine. What are you looking for from us? Like, how can we support? What do you need from us and from fans and other people in this space?
I think just continuing to amplify our work. And I think, you know, what you all are doing at Shea Butter and Two Cents has been incredible. Voice in Sport has been really supportive of us. Just sharing and highlighting the work we're doing is a great start. I would say anyone who sees himself as an ally, you lifting up and, you know, taking on that brunt of continuing to educate people who might not share the same experiences as us, because too often it falls on our backs to try and teach and educate. And, you know, we are the ones experiencing this. So it's difficult. That's a difficult ask. And it's a lot of weight to carry. So, you know, anyone who sees himself as an ally, if that's an area I think that will always need help and more support in kind of bearing the brunt of, you know, the reality that what society is and what it brings and the difficulties that minorities face in it. And just keep an eye out, follow what we're doing. And when you see it, like it, share it, and yeah, help us spread the word.
Very nice. Yeah. The website's nice too, by the way.
Yeah. Fire. That's a fire website.
Thank you. That's Efie. Efie was head on the website. So if you see her in passing or in the Twitter sphere, be sure to, sure to shout her out on that. She did a good job.
Okay, Efie the Tech Whiz? Okay. Sky, I'll turn it over to you. I'm going to let you have the fun questions.
All right. So it's holiday season. So do you have, like, a holiday playlist? Do you have, like, a favorite holiday song, tradition?
My favorite holiday song is Boyz II Men, Let It Snow.
Okay.
my playlist... I stole it from my fiance. It's, so I'm not entirely sure if this is the actual title, but it's like TLC's Christmas playlist or something. And that has like all the R&B Christmas bangers on it.
Okay. So Slay Rod. Okay.
The actual title of the playlist to share. But that's what I've been listening to like all week.
All right. Let's see. Are there anything, you have any like traditions that you do that you want to share? Any like favorite kind of cookies, movies of the sort?
We did. Oh, holiday drinks. We have a bottle of Coquito and punch cream in the fridge.
Hey.
I'm
sick.
Oh no! Don't tell me that. I gotta bring some bottles with me then for next.
She's in Washington. That you can find it. You'll be
okay. Okay. Good. What else? Movies. We watched all the Home Alones. Tomorrow we'll watch A Christmas Story. What else did you ask? Oh, traditions. We usually go to see the tree in Rockefeller Center, but COVID is crazy right now. And it's just not worth it. So we will admire from afar. But Jones Beach has like a light show, a drive-through. They do like these incredible Christmas light fixtures, and you stay in your car and you just drive in and around the beach, and you just look at them through your car. We've been going since we were kids. So we're going tomorrow to that, which is awesome. And then, yeah, bake cookies. I mean, all the norm. Bake cookies, decorate the tree. Yeah.
All right. This is a divisive subject.
Oh, here we go. Do it.
What is your favorite cookie?
Now I'm scared to answer.
Speak your truth.
Speak your truth.
I like homemade gingerbread.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh. I'm mad. I made somebody mad.
Don't go by Sky. Her taste buds are interesting.
My taste buds are fire. It's okay. It's all right. You say you like the gingerbread? Okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
So you eat the gingerbread? So it's not, you don't just like have it for the houses? You eat the gingerbread?
Yeah, like homemade. Like you make the gingerbread dough, cookie dough, and then you use the cookie cutters and you make them the little men, and then you bake them and eat them.
Okay, you see it. Houses. Okay, so you got the real gingerbread. Okay, yeah. Okay, I feel you. All right, so part of that was a part of like a vibe of our hits and riffs segment where we talk about favorite artists, songs that people are feeling, what we're feeling. Do you have any particular artists, any songs? Sometimes we karaoke, but it doesn't have to be holiday based, but anybody that you're listening to that's on your playlist, maybe you listen to as you're training, playing, that you might want to share with the people?
Oh, no, I don't think I want to share that. At this very moment in time.
Okay. Fine. Do you have like a favorite artist or anything of the sort?
I'll tell you why I don't want to share it, because it's kind of funny. I went down a Netflix like foreign show hole, and I've been like, my Netflix has been in Sweden for a good 3 months. So now I am currently listening to, I kid you not, like all these Swedish rappers, singers. I don't know what they're saying, but I think the songs are dope. So I
that's me with Bollywood. Like I got a whole playlist. Like, yeah.
I can't even think of somebody I can't even think of like a non-Swedish artist off the top of my head right now to give you in this moment. But that's what my whole Spotify. Yeah,
that's fire though. See, you're scared to share that. Nah, the people want to know. Like that's what's up.
We might learn something new. You know, I'm gonna go look and see what's out there.
Now I gotta go look for sure.
All right. Well, you know, you've got a busy holiday coming up, so we don't want to keep you too much longer. And I know we're coming up on our hour, and it's been super awesome just getting to talk to you and hear you and being able to hear about your company, Black Women's Players Collective, some of your journey in soccer going up. So I guess the last thing I'll do is give you the floor again, just in case you want to share anything else, promote anything else, let people know where they can find you on social media and the website, and just I'll let you take it away.
Well, first and foremost, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. Great way to end my Christmas Eve. So thank you, and thank you everyone for joining. Honestly, I just hope everyone has a safe and healthy, happy holiday. That's my wish for everyone. And if you're looking for some cool stuff, you can check out Jazz It Up on Instagram. It's at @JazzItUp_official or JazzItUpOfficial.com. Jazz is JAS. And my Instagram is JSpence3. I'm kind of boring on there, but still follow because my stories are fun. Even if my grid isn't. But yeah, so honestly, just thank you. This was great. I had a lot of fun. And see everybody in 2022. It's going to be a great season. 10th anniversary of NWSL. It's gonna be crazy.
Yes, I'm gonna make my way to the bank. To
yeah, the bank, so. the lituation. Yeah.
Yeah, I said I gotta work with an Angel City fan. Who's gonna be?
Oh yeah, it's gonna be like on a billion.
But in a good way. I'm very excited to see the rest of the team come together, and I think a lot of the choices so far are really, really great. And we love to see Black women prospering, and Angel City has a few, so we're excited.
Yep, definitely. It's gonna be awesome.
Cool. Anyone else have questions, Sky?
No, I'm good. All right, so it's about that time.
I think so. I'm gonna call her out. Maggie, you have anything you would like to add?
Maybe she might have to.
She's like, no, I don't.
Yay, nay, no, no. I guess not. All right, it's all good. So I guess why are you going on mute?
Sorry.
Oh, wait, here we go. We got you.
Okay.
I just wanted to say thank you guys, and it's always great to hear Jazz speak about her career and what she's doing. I'm super proud, happy for her. Yeah, I'm excited, and once again, thank you guys for hosting this. It was close to last minute, but you guys came through, so thank you so much for it. And I hope everyone was able to enjoy it. I'm not sure if anyone in the audience may have questions, but we'll probably do that before we end completely.
Sure. Yeah, I think we can turn it over. Yeah, does anyone have any questions for Jasmine? Bueller? That's a really old reference. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Sorry. I showed my age. Wow. Sorry.
So, you a little seasoned.
Okay.
All right.
Then I'm going to assume that means it was a good conversation. and I really hope everybody got a lot of information out of
it. Oh, we got a question. We got one. We do. Uh-oh.
Okay.
Hey there. Hi, hello. Guys. Thanks for hosting this. This is Dao. I'm actually in one of the supporters groups for Angel City FC, and I see a lot of my fellow supporters. There's a couple other groups as well in here. And I just wanted to say, we're really excited for Jasmine to come here and play for us, and we're excited to cheer for you and scream for you and chant for you, and we'll see about getting a step crew if we can. So want to say, super excited for you and wishing you all the best in your move over here. I think everyone from all the different SGs who's on here would echo that.
Thank you. I'm so excited too. Honestly, I really am. It's going to be an awesome season. And I'm so excited to rep your city. Whoop, whoop.
Awesome. Any other questions, comments? I know we have a few minutes left. All right. Well, if that's the case.
Well, it's about us. We got to do it. What do we have to do in this holiday season?
Especially in the holiday season. Stay hydrated.
And we're going to stay melanated.
We're going to make sure the Black women in our lives and yours are celebrated.
And then we'll make sure the Shea Butter Bombs. Make sure your Shea Butter Bombs are always elevated. And also, this is the one of many Shea Butter kickbacks. Tuesday. Can I go ahead and say it? Can I say it? Okay.
Yes.
Tuesday we have Sydney Cummings on.
Yes.
So we will be back in the space on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Everything, like, time is mixing. So 4 p.m. What's this over here? 4 p.m. Pacific.
Pacific.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry.
It's a struggle. I'm off. So time is just like, the time is just like crisscrossing. But yeah. Come through. We appreciate y'all. Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you, Maggie. Thank you, everybody.
Yes. Thank you, Jasmine, for being our first Shea Butter Kickback. We appreciate the support. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
And make sure y'all put out chocolate chip or sugar cookie plain for Santa.
Snickerdoodle.
Don't do that. Anyway, thank y'all. Much love. Y'all have a good rest of y'all day and holiday.
Peace, everybody. Mask up. Stay safe.